I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Need or on the rocks? You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia, Rochester's sports leader, 95.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, happy Halloween to you and yours. Be safe tonight. Going to welcome in Matt Perino of the Syracuse Post-Standard. NewYorkUpstate.com, covering the Buffalo Bills, fresh from an afternoon at the stadium. Matt, how are you?
I'm good. I'm walking in my car right now, and luckily I have an umbrella because I'm getting dumped on.
Oh, I was hoping that the weather would be a little bit better out there than it is here. It's the same here because I know you got little ones tonight. You got a plan B tonight going out, Matt?
My dad... He used to take us no matter what the weather was, so I got to kind of, you know, man up and get him out there. We may take the van and just go a couple houses and just scoot him out the door, but we'll see.
Elements are a factor tonight. Elements, fatigue might be a factor. You need some dad beers, maybe commiserate with the other dads that are out there soaking and trying to collect that candy haul as well. Matt, we like the effort as always. And you're covering the Buffalo Bills, of course, for NewYorkUpstate.com, one of our regulars here in the sports bar. Where do we start? I mean, I feel like we're all still kind of shelled from that loss on Sunday, and then you had the trade deadline immediately on Tuesday. Let's start with Sean McDermott, because Sean McDermott said something that was very un-Sean McDermott-like yesterday when he referenced mistakes that were made in the past. Talk a little bit about that and the Bills' decision to sit on their hands at the trade deadline.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it had kind of a combination effect, or intention, I should say. I think he was talking about Doug Whaley. I think he was talking about, you know, this regime here and some of maybe the mistakes that they have made over the course of the 3 years. Now, by all accounts, I mean, the way that they're building this thing through the draft and, you know, the free agent track that they've gone, especially this past offseason, it seems to be working. I mean, for all the bad things to take out of last week's game, this is a 5-2 football team with a leg up on a lot of AFC teams when it comes to making a playoff push. And once you get in the playoffs, then who knows what can happen, especially when you have a defense that plays at the levels that this defense does. But the problem is going to be if a game comes along where they played like they did last week on defense, can this offense pick up the slack? They weren't able to do it last week. And, you know, against the elite teams in the conference, you have questions.
Man, I'm sure you've heard this phrase. Where do you come down in this? Last week against the Philadelphia Eagles, the Buffalo Bills were exposed.
That's an interesting one. I don't necessarily think that they were of, you know, maybe them being lack of or, you know, pretenders, as some people like to have said. I maintain with all the positives that you've taken away from the first seven or six games going into last week from Josh Allen, there were kind of kinks that had to be worked out. And Brian Daboll echoed those sentiments, as did Sean McDermott. They said that, you know, when it comes to the play calling, when it comes to execution, when it comes to fundamentals, I mean, I think more than anything, this is a wake-up call in the sense that there is not a game on the schedule in this league. The last two weeks are perfect examples of it, that you can not bring your number one best effort, all hands on deck approach. And I don't think that this team necessarily ever has a problem with that because, you know, Sean McDermott gets these guys up to play. But what it showed me more is that when the train comes off the tracks a little bit, as a fan, I'd be wary in those games because they've shown at times under Sean McDermott's inability to get it back on the track.
I worry about this, and you tell me where you come down on this, Matt, and this is courtesy of Warren Sharp at Sharp Football Analytics, that the Bills, after losing to Philadelphia, are now 0-8 over the last 2 years against teams with NFL average or better offenses, allowing 29 points a game and losing by an average of 29-9. I mean, for every skeptic about the Bills this season, this kind of crystallizes it, that they're beating up on bad teams, but they're pretenders in that they can't beat the good teams that are on their schedule.
Yeah, they're kind of funny in that way, because I feel like there's been some games where they've gone up against good offenses and good quarterbacks and played well.
Did we lose Matt?
I think we lost Matt. It was such a good point.
They have a lot of offensive
there
line.
You are. Sorry, Matt. We lost you there for a second. Continue your point. You were saying there's some teams where they play good offenses.
Yeah, they sometimes do show up against good offenses. And I think that New England is a perfect example. The way that they've game planned and approached playing against Tom Brady in that offense has been impressive. But you're right. Against a Philadelphia team that has a good quarterback, that has a really good offensive line, and I think that that might be the key as you're trying to figure things out. When they go up against a team with a really good offensive line, I think that they are kind of exposed a little bit in their front seven, not only at the point of attack, but that second-level tackling, where I think Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds dropped the ball quite a bit last week. And that can't happen. These are guys that, you know, as young as they are, more so in Tremaine Edmonds' case, you know, they have big roles on this team, and the expectations are that they make the plays when they're there to be made. And I think that that's an area of concern. I think that, you know, Tremaine had a couple of those games last year where you kind of were like, ooh, wait a second. Maybe there's a lot of work to be done here, and is middle linebacker actually the best fit for him? He answered a lot of those questions down the stretch last year. So he's going to have, like any player, you're going to have bad games. I mean, even Aaron Donald, I'm pretty sure if you really were to really go through the tape, you'd find some games where he wasn't as dominant as he was in others. So it's a wake-up call. I think as a unit, it could be a learning experience. But we'll find out as we go forward, because I think even in 2 weeks, this week's kind of like plus their schedule is a little bit weird. Like, they're playing all the bottom feeders of this league. It's kind of a malaise it puts you in. You know, you're going up against, Cincinnati and the Giants. It's just, you don't really know who you are, because you're going up against teams that don't really have a lot of offensive firepower. So I think when they start to play the Cleveland, even though they're struggling, and the who is that other one that they're playing here?
You got Baltimore, Dallas. You got some good offenses coming
exactly.
up here, yeah.
Exactly. So you just want to get things figured out now. Figure out who you are. And this is something I was talking about yesterday. I don't think that this team really does know what their identity is yet. They're running the ball really, really well when they decide to do it. But then, lo and behold, against the Eagles in a bad weather game last week, they abandoned the run. So they got to figure out who they are and start executing with a little bit more confidence on the offensive side of the ball as well.
Matt, where I come down on criticizing play calling, I just simplify it. If the play worked, it's a good play. If the play didn't work, well, then it's the bad play caller. It's hard to criticize, I'm saying, an offensive coordinator for any one particular game. But I will criticize how personnel is being used. Do you have a problem at all with the limited touches that Devin Singletary has had in the last two games?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's tough for any of us as kind of amateur football watchers to really dive into the X's and O's of it all. But it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me to have a guy like Devin Singletary, who you obviously believe in so much that you were willing to go with just a 36-year-old Frank Gore on the roster and not use him. It's puzzling. And I think that there's a few factors at play here. I think that that injury, they're wanting to maybe not overdo it with him as he's coming back from that injury. And then also, it's a long season. This is the first time he's going to go through a 16-game season. Their anticipation is they're going to be playing January football. So I think that part of it is they just want to save him and kind of take it slow. But at the same time, you might not have that luxury because you need your best players on the field with the ball in their hands, and he's one of their top playmakers.
He is Matt Parrino, the Syracuse Post-Standard. You can read his work at NewYorkUpstate.com, joining us for a few in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Matt, let's look ahead to Sunday's opponent. It's Washington. We know that this isn't a very good team. We think that Dwayne Haskins, well, he's been taking the first team reps in practice, but I'm curious if all things are equal in case Keenum gets cleared. He's starting on Sunday for the Redskins, right?
You would think so. I don't really know why they don't have Haskins in now just to figure out what they have there. I get the idea of wanting to go slow, and he hasn't looked like he's as ready as maybe he should be. But, I mean, where are you going with having Case Keenum in there? I just don't understand that. You spent a first-round draft pick. I never really understand that. Like, in Patrick Mahomes' case in Kansas City, that made a little bit more sense because they had Alex Smith, who they believe they can contend with and be a contender in the AFC. With Haskins, I mean, with Haskins or Keenum, you're not going to be a contender if you're the Redskins. So I think that's the plan is probably Keenum. If he can't go, then it's Haskins. But also it's looking like Adrian Peterson is going to be kind of a down-to-the-wire type of a situation as well, which also changes the dynamic of things, because that's been the big storyline this week is how are the Bills going to stop Adrian Peterson after giving up 200 yards last week.
Matt Parrino, Syracuse Post-Standard, our guest, got a little bit of breaking news per Adam Schefter, also Ian Rappaport, reporting that it's official. Josh Gordon now is on waivers. He's been deemed healthy. He's available through the waiver process. The obvious question here, Matt, do you expect the Buffalo Bills to be in on that? Josh Gordon to Buffalo, what do you think?
I think that it's interesting, and I'll say that I was kind of thinking about this last week as we were approaching the deadline, and if a trade was for the Bills, especially at the wide receiver position, that that would make a little bit of sense because he kind of fills the role that they're kind of missing right now. I love the Duke Williams story. I think it's fun. I think he's earned the chance that he's received. But at the same time, there's obviously an inability to consistently separate there. And at the NFL level, it almost makes him, I don't want to say irrelevant, but, you know, it's spotty in terms of utilizing him in that middle of the field area. He's more of that red zone target. To get a guy like Josh Gordon, even though his production has been a bit down in this last, go around this last year or so with the Patriots, he's still probably going to come in here and be, from a talent perspective, your number one wide receiver. And then you add in the fact that John Brown's most unbelievable year, I know he's on pace right now for 1,200, but his best year was with Larry Fitzgerald when he got to be that number two guy. So I think it's interesting. I think that the big holdup is going to be the off-the-field stuff and how that would play in the locker room, bringing him in and the potential distractions there. But I don't think Brandon Bean's ever shied away from the idea of wanting to bring in a guy that can help the football team. And, you never know. I think it's definitely in play.
Interesting to think that a guy with that could be one bad life decision away from never playing football again would fit the quote-unquote process for the Buffalo Bills.
You said that you think it wouldn't fit the process?
I don't know. I mean, it feels like they really want like guys that are going to be available. That they always say, oh, the best ability is availability. And Josh Gordon's a player that's, again, one bad decision off the field will cost him his career.
No, 100%. And that's something that, plays into all of that. But I also think that there was a lot of question marks around Antonio Brown, too. And they kicked the tires on that before obviously going in another direction, and we still really don't know how far along they got in those discussions. But I think that at the end of the day, it comes down to risk versus reward. What's the risk for the Bills to bring in Josh Gordon to try it out and see if he can make it through the season, if he could solidify that receiver spot? If he does flame out, if he does make another poor choice, they have guys in the pipeline that they believe the next man up. So I guess it comes down to also how much do you believe in your process and your culture? can you impact somebody else who may just need the right environment to maybe excel? I don't know. I'd have to talk to Brandon Bean more about that. It's something interesting maybe for the offseason, diving into that a little bit. But I think that sometimes with the talent level, I think that's a big area that this offense is missing, that playmaking number one kind of caliber receiver. And Josh Gordon would fill that role.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post Standard, our guest here. Sometimes we just kind of take these stories as they're happening here. Matt, here's another breaking story here. Trent Williams apparently has spoken to the media down in D.C., and J.P. Finley is a reporter for the NBC affiliate down there. Trent Williams, the growth on his head actually was cancer. Started 6 years ago, and the team said it was minor. So now you understand why Trent Williams is so upset if actually he has a cancerous growth. I guess my question here, Matt, is as we just point out this breaking news here, most dysfunctional organization, is it the team that's coming to Buffalo this week, in your opinion?
Wow. I mean, I'd have to think about that because there's a couple really dysfunctional organizations in sports. I mean, you look at even the Giants, and obviously they won a Super Bowl, and in the last 20 years, a couple of them, I believe, and so it's hard to really put them in that pot. But you know, there's so many poorly run organizations in the NFL, and you wonder why they're never able to get things right and figure things out. And it's stuff like this. I mean, your players are your number one commodity. They're the thing that you have to kind of protect and put above anything else, because without the operation running efficiently, with players happy and kind of giving their full effort, things don't work. And it confuses me when stories like this come out and you kind of just scratch your head. But yeah, I mean, Trent Williams was a guy that I put out a story at the beginning of the week that the Bills were going to try to make a trade. I do think that there's some solidification that could happen still on this offensive line, despite how well Deion Dawkins has played and, you know, some other different pieces on this offensive line that have been really good. I still think that there may be a player or maybe even two away from making it the kind of elite level offensive line that could really be a game changer for Josh Allen. So, Trent Williams, who knows what's going to happen, but that could be an interesting offseason player to watch.
Matt, you're always gracious with your time. I want to make sure you have plenty of time here in the sports bar to tell our listeners what you're working on at NewYorkUpstate.com this week leading up to the game.
Cool. Tomorrow, expect a big Devin Singletary story to drop. I actually got to catch up with his running backs coach, Kevin Smith, former NFL running back who was at UCF, then played for the Lions. His career ended a little bit early because of injuries. But now he's in coaching, and him and Devin Singletary connected real quick. I got to talk to Devin today, and that story will be a big story that drops tomorrow. I'm excited about it. And then we'll have full coverage from the locker room the last couple of days. We'll have a few stories up going into the weekend, the preview, and then we'll be at Orchard Park on Sunday.
Matt, coming from two old dads here, enjoy tonight. Enjoy every second of it, my friend.
I am going to, with each raindrop that hits me.
You're the best, Matt. Have a great
night.
Everybody
tells me this goes quick.
Yeah. Happy Halloween, Matt. There you go. Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard. One of our regulars in the sports bar, giving us the latest from One Bills Drive.
Back to Trent Williams. He is telling reporters that he has been diagnosed with DFSP. That is a rare type of cancer. Soft tissue sarcoma. It develops deep in the skin. That's why he was so upset at the Redskins doctors for pointing this out for years. The Redskins doctors told him it was nothing. He gets a second opinion. Oops, he has sarcoma. I'm not even going to try to pronounce DFSP, but that's a little bit more behind why there is this standoff for so many months between Williams and the Washington Redskins.
It's mind-blowing how dysfunctional that organization is. It's crazy.
So
he had cancer.
How did the Redskins plan on winning this PR battle when they stood down this guy? No, you're playing for us or nobody else. Dude, your own doctors misdiagnosed this.
Not only that, they're going to hold him to a year on his contract. They're not going to let his contract toll. He's going to have 2 years left on his contract this offseason. They're going to try and trade him with 2 years left so that they can get a bigger return on that investment. I don't know that a team is going to bite on a guy who's missed a full year of play and, oh, by the way, had cancer. And, Washington. Washington.
Look, I think Matt answered that correctly. There are a lot of dysfunctional organizations out there, but that's...
Well, it's interesting that that story is breaking the week that they're playing the Bills, and luckily next hour we'll talk to Craig Hoffman, who's covering the Redskins for 106.7 The Fan, one of the dozens of sports stations you can hear on the radio.com app, our sister station in D.C. We'll find out a little bit more about this bombshell. It wasn't just a growth. It was cancer. It was cancer. Well played, DC. I'll drink to that is on the way next in the sports bar. Takes on tap. There's a team in the AFC that the Buffalo Bills need to be wary of here as the season winds down and they're jockeying for a playoff position. If you buy into strength of schedule, some of you do, some of you don't. But if you buy into strength of schedule, there's a pretty compelling argument that the Buffalo Bills need to win the next four games in order to be a playoff team.
So we've had, in the previous three championships, NBA, NHL, and baseball last night, first-time champions. Oh. Well, if we're going to have a first-time champion in the NFL, who might that be? I will tell you who I would think it would be. Also, is it more important to be woke or paid, Danger? A story in the sports media that I just think we need to point out just how ridiculous this world is now.
It's important to be woke if it means you can get paid.
Ah.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that and more. I'll drink to that is on the way next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion. We've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester. Looking for the best sounding, most interactive way to listen to the sports leader? The radio.com app is the official new home of ESPN Rochester. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Listen in your car via Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Connect wirelessly on your smart speakers or just pop some earbuds in and take us with you everywhere. The radio.com app. Free to download, easy to use, and where you can find AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.